Our podcast will begin in just a moment. Did you know that when you roll over your 401k, after-tax contributions can only be rolled into an IRA or a retirement plan that keeps track of the taxable and non-taxable parts? Talk to the 401k rollover experts at KPP Financial, and they'll help you make the best possible choices. Just click on Contact Steve or Justin and type 401k rollover on investtalk.com. Now, today's InvestTalk podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to InvestTalk. It is Wednesday, December 28th, and the year is rapidly coming to a close. We only have a couple of more days of trading, Thursday and Friday, and Friday probably be a very weak day since it's the last day of the year. And this show is about above-average investing for the average investor, and your questions are welcome about any money matter during the hour. Or anytime, really, 24 hours a day on our anytime listener line, the same number, 888-99-CHART. And we'll check that line in just a minute. Today we're going to talk about millennials and those that are in this age group that have families members in this age group. Data shows that they're saving money, but are they managing it in the best possible way? We have four things millennials should know about money, about retirement. And that's going to be one of our main talking points. And we talked about approaching volatility for the market for 2017. We're likely going to see a lot more in 2017 than we did in 2016. Remember, we did see a lot of volatility at the beginning of the year this year, in January. The worst January ever. And then it made all that up in the next few months. Then it was kind of a flat market. And I was looking at it today, and from January 1st to the election day, November 4th, was it? The stock market was flat. Not up, not down. Flat all that time. All the up move and all the big move we've seen since the presidential election. All the up move for the market, the positive return for the market has been since the market. And that's just November and December here. That's it. And it's been a pretty strong move in a short period of time. Anyways, are the millennials doing the right thing? We're going to have a lot of volatility. Should you be in 30 stocks? But should you be in 30 stocks or maybe should have alternative investments? Do you know what the alternative investment classes are? Private equity has been a top performer as a class for big institutional investors, but I would not suggest it for you. Private equity, there are many times business development corporations, and they're extremely high risk. And this is a new trend is registered private equities. And this for qualified investors, very high risk. To be a qualified investor, you have to have a net worth of $1 million. And a lot of people are doing that because it's not so hard to get to $1 million when you own property in California. I can tell you that. Remember, it's net worth. So should you be in that? Should the millennials be in that? Should anybody? I'm going to say no. You're not expert enough. But it is an asset class that's not tied to the stock market. Another asset class not tied to the stock market. Collectibles, memorabilia, jewelry, art, cars, collectibles. And people say, well, I have investments in my cars. I have old cars and they're very valuable, whatever. But, for you and me, unless you have turned yourself into an expert in this area or any asset memorabilia area, don't even think about that. That's a loser. How about master limited partnerships? Now, these are ones, the public ones are very popular, have been for several years. Should you be in those? Because those are asset classes not tied to the market, too. Remember, we're talking about diversifying a portfolio away from the stock market. So not everything is attached to the stock market. And the most common method that people diversify away from the stock market is their house. And that is an asset class, real estate. Master limited partnerships, though, man, you got to be real careful with those. You got to understand them. And most people don't understand them. They have different tax treatments. It is not an easy asset class to invest in. It sounds like it is. It feels like it is, but it's not really. So we're in the final days of the year. Pretty eventful year, too. What money matters are on your mind? Do you want to talk more about diversification? I'll talk about that. As always, we're up for any money questions on Invest Talk. So let's begin the Q&A. 888-99-CHARTER is our anytime number.
Hello, this is Carl from Cleveland, Ohio. I listen to you on a podcast. And my question is it better to invest in a dividend stock or a dividend ETF? Thank you.
Well, it's better if you put it that way, it would be the ETF because you have a diversification. You don't want to invest in one dividend stock. That's too risky. Now, if you ask me what would be a better way, I would tell you, I would think a better way would be investing in a number of dividend paying stocks. Because an ETF, a dividend paying ETF, it could be full of stocks that are not good dividend payers or reliable, or maybe, you know, I can't tell you, you'd have to look at the ETF. But if you picked a group of dividend paying stocks, then you could pick the best of the best. And notice I'm not saying the highest yielding dividend, the highest paying dividend. That's no, not at all. That's not the smart way to go. Remember, we have had seminars on this stuff. You want the dividend, the company that pays a good dividend, but it has a history of increasing dividends, a history of stability, that they never drop the dividend, never lower the dividend, and you want them to be able to pay that dividend in the future. And that means you like to have a dividend payout ratio of about 60%. Payout ratio. That means they don't pay more than about 60% of their net earnings in the form of a dividend. There's ways to find these things and ways to research them. So it's not... The answer is no, you should do the ETF, not the individual dividend-paying stock, because it's high risk to buy one stock, even if it's the best stock in the world. Even if it's AT&T and they're 5% dividend, buying just one is risky. Risky. Four things millennials should know about retirement. That's one of our talking points today. Also, tax breaks that are going to expire in 2016. There's a number of them. I only picked three, but there's a number of tax breaks that are going to expire this year. And this happens every year, but I picked three that I thought were of the more important. Gas prices are going up in seven states. So I thought I picked this out because it has some interesting numbers that I can share with you on how much we pay per gallon in taxes. And this is state taxes, not the federal tax, not city, county, or any other kind of excise tax or whatever tax, just the state tax. And everybody has to pay the federal tax, and then you got to pay sales tax. What really gets my goat on the gasoline tax is we pay 7% sales tax on tax. Because the gallon per gallon that you're paying, there's taxes built in that per gallon price already. State tax, federal tax. Then so you get a $45 bill, and then they add your state sales tax on top of that. So you're paying tax on tax. Who? Does that sound fair to anybody? No. And the last one, do you know what a news dump is? A news dump. Well, I'm going to tell you what it is and how it's relating to the stock market, your investments. A news dump. What it is, when they do it, how it happens, and why. Those are the talking points we're going to discuss today. The market gave back somewhat today, 111 points on the Dow, 48 points on the NASDAQ, and 19 points on the S&P. I thought that we might be in the beginning of the year when we start seeing some weakness, people taking profits from this very sharp move up since the last 7 or 8 weeks. But today, some people were taking a little bit of profits off the table, which was kind of interesting. But, still the market's been very, very strong. So this is Invest Talk, everybody. Remember, not all stocks and bonds is what we talk about. It's not, you can talk about anything financial. Bring any money question to me. How much should the average person have to reserve? Do you have a living trust? mean, you know, how much money should you have set aside for emergencies? Let's talk about it. 888-99-CHART. That's our Invest Talk, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, listening or live. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. So, four things millennials should know about mutual funds and retirement. Of course, there's probably much more than four things. Have you ever noticed that the news, especially financial news, they always give you a list. Four things you should do, seven things, three things. It's just a gimmick. That's all it is a gimmick. Make you focus on what they want, the point that they want to make. So, four things millennials should know about mutual funds and retirement. Number one, think about your time frame. Well, of course, if you're in your 20s, you're in your 30s, you're in your 40s, where are you? Of course you're going to think about your time frame no matter what, whether you're a millennial or not a millennial. How many years do you have left? And the problem is the more years you have left, the less you're going to think about it, your retirement. Young people don't think about it. They don't. But you really should, but you don't. So that's one thing. Think about your time frame. Make tax efficiency a priority. In other words, stop paying taxes you don't have to. One way to do that is make sure you max out your 401k, your IRA, whatever you can to avoid some taxes. Now, the younger you are, you also want to think about, you know, tax efficiency also talks about earning money tax-free, and that's a Roth IRA. Even though you pay taxes on the money you put in a Roth or a Roth 401k, they do exist. Not everybody has one. Make sure you look at the fees carefully. One of the fees things that bothers me a lot is those target-dated funds. Those target-dated funds. Those are funds of funds. It's a mutual fund that buys mutual funds, and of course, both of them have fees. But they always tell you, but see, the target dated fund fee is pretty small. Well, why should there be a fee at all? Why should you be paying two at all? Why not just one? So take a look at the fees. Be careful. And don't be dazzled by short-term performance. That's a very difficult situation. It's a trap because I've seen it so often over the years where people tell you how, you know, mutual fund says, we are up 37% last year and top 10% of our group. So that makes everybody pour in money this year because of what it did last year. That's the absolute worst thing you can do, but they don't tell you that. Why is that the worst? Because you have to understand how they achieved that. Did they take extra risk to achieve that return? And is that same extra risk going to pay off this year? So looking at past performance of 1 year is really not a good idea. You want multiple years. That'd be better. So those are some of the things everybody should consider, even though they're talking about millennials here. I think it applies to everybody. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, everybody. There are more than a handful of information resources on investtalk.com. And that's the entry portal for our risk analysis test. It's simple, easy. It's where you can sign up for InvestTalk Insiders program too. And, you know, it's not a free information. InvestTalk with two T's, InvestTalk.com.
Hello, Steve and Justin. This is Sean from New York. Thanks again for your wonderful show. I listen to it every day. My question today is about NVIDIA Corporation, NVDA. I almost doubled my money in this stock, but sold it around $80. Didn't think it was going to keep going up like this. Could have tripled, I guess. Just wanted to know your thought. What's going on with this stock and why it's going up like that and how long it's going to go? How long do you think it's going to go up like that? And I will listen to you in the podcast. Thank you very much. Bye.
Okay, this is NVIDIA Corporation, NVDA. Designs graphic processing units and personal computers, workstations, and consoles and mobile devices. So it's a good area to be in. It is a $59 billion company. It's huge. It's a mega cap. They're going to make $2.41 in next year. That's up 44% from this year as $1.67. Then in 2018, we had estimates already, another 12% increase to 270. It's a $109 stock. So the question is it worth $40? 40 PE? A 40 PE. Is it worth that? Now, sales have been accelerating in the recent quarters from 12%, 13%, 24%, and 54% in the most recent quarter. The stock has taken off from $25 beginning of this year in February after the market crash to $109 now. It's 400% return. So what do you think I'm going to say? I'm going to tell you it's overvalued. I'm going to tell you you did the right thing by selling it. Yeah, you could have bought. You could have made more money, yes. How greedy do you want to be? Now you may have sold it improperly because you didn't sell it using a stop loss or something. I don't know. But what I am telling you is it's overpriced and I wouldn't buy it now. You wait for a pretty decent pullback before you buy this. It's too expensive. It's a really good company, but it's too expensive. You know, at this point. 40 PE? Don't think so. I don't think it's worth that much. And how, it's a $59 billion company. Its sales cannot continue to accelerate as they've been. It's impossible. The bigger you are, the harder it is to grow your sales. But, you know, it's a great company, but I wouldn't buy it now. NVDA. 888-99-CHARTER is our number. Love to talk to you. Okay, tax breaks that expire this year. They're going to expire. One is the one that affects many people may be their personal residence cancellation of debt. That's a tax break. What that is. Okay, remember when you were buying a house and you overpaid for it and then it was foreclosed and then because you borrowed the money to buy it and they foreclosed on it, you got a bill to pay, you got a 1099 that meant that you had income in the form of that loan and you had to pay income tax. Well, this law passed a few years ago, did away with that, so you wouldn't pay income tax. But that ends this year. So if you have a situation, guess what? You only got a couple of days that you can utilize this tax break. PMI, okay, that is the insurance that you buy if you have less than 20% down on a house. And this is a law that allowed you to deduct that PMI if you were in a low enough income bracket, deduct that PMI, the cost of the PMI, on your tax income tax. You could deduct it. Now you can't, 2017. Okay, credit for plug-in electric vehicles, you get a 10% credit up to $2,500 tax credit, tax benefit. That's disappearing. That's going to be gone 2017. So I think those are the three most important tax benefits that are going to disappear. But there were others, but those were the ones that I thought that were most important that people use. So they're going to be disappearing. And I don't know if that's necessarily a bad thing. You know, I'm not saying that. I mean, it's bad for people who take advantage of it. But from a economic point of view, this messes around with, you know, with basic supply and demand kind of economic philosophy. Because you're giving certain people tax breaks, but not other people tax breaks. I don't like that. If you're going to give tax breaks, give it to every person, regardless of their situation. Make it across the board or don't do it at all. That's my personal opinion anyways. Coming to terms with investing. The term is parity. Parity refers to two things being equal to each other. The term par value for a bond is similar to parity. Parity can also refer to two securities having equal value, such as a convertible bond and the value of a stock if the bondholder chooses to convert into common stock. In exchange market, parity occurs when all brokers bidding for the same security have equal standing due to identical bids. This is parity. Parity can be used in many different ways. you can see the definition of parity, because I probably have used it and I don't even realize it. But if you want the definition, you can go to investopedia.com and take a look. We're heading to the second part of the Wednesday afternoon show for Invest Talk. Plenty of time to get your questions in. Our direct line is 888-99-CHART. Talk to me live. You can always do that between 4 and 5 Pacific time, Monday through Friday. 888-992-4278.
We thank you for subscribing to the podcast. And reminder that there's really no reason not to sign up for our Invest Talk Insiders program. One reason to join is our long list of lists. One of them is our dividend growth watch list. Many investors today are chasing yield, but in a rising rate environment, high-yielding stocks tend to suffer. So here are 10 names that have a long track record of dividend growth. You can see it if you're an InvestTalk insider. Sign up for free on investtalk.com. You're listening to Invest Talk for Wednesday, December 28th. Last chance to wrap up loose ends when it comes to taxes. 13 last-minute tips to lower your 2016 taxes. That's one of our topics next time. Right now, your talking point comes first. 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. We're going to talk to Steve in San Jose. How you doing, Steve?
Hi, Steve. Thanks for taking my call. I have a question about Michael Kors, K-O-R-S.
Uh-huh.
I wanted to know what is your opinion about that.
Okay. Do you want to buy it or do you already own it?
I saw some puts on that, so it's been under some pressure. So it seems to be a low PE company, but seems to have some encountering some kind of earnings. Downdraft, so I'm not sure whether I would get put with the stock or not. So I wanted to see what you feel about that.
I don't think being put the stock to you is a bad thing, really. Now, this Michael Kors, everybody, K-O-R-S, markets luxury apparel, accessories, footwear under the Michael Kors and Michael Kors names. And the reason why I'm saying it might not be a bad idea to put to you, because it's all cheap. They're going to make $4.40 this year. That's 5% less than last year. And then $4.57 next year. So, the stock is a $43 stock. They're going to make $4.57. So it's under a 10 PE. And the five-year range is 7 to 58. Return on equity is 41.
Okay.
The problem you have, Steve, is that you're right. The sales have been a little bit under pressure on the downside. So it's worried investors, and that's one of the reasons why the stock has been selling off. But mm-hmm. Do you know anything about charting, and in particular candlestick charts? Mm-hmm. This is it's a doji that happened today, and what that means is it opened up, it fell sharply, and it closed almost exactly where it was, and it's at the top of the range for the day. That generally indicates support coming in, buyers coming in. Right here. So you may have seen the weakest part. Now, the part I don't like, Steve, is that the market itself, it was up, the market itself is overvalued. So it could pull this down with it if the market corrects in January like it did this year in January. But I think it's awful cheap.
I'm also thinking about whether is it because of tax loss harvesting at this time of the year that also pulls it down a little.
It could be. They could have pulled it down because, the rest of the market has been up except for, the last day or two. I mean, so there could be tax loss selling taking place. And if that's the case, if it is, then it should spring back a little bit next month. Good luck with it. I hope it works for you, Steve.
Thank you.
Thank you. That was Michael Kors Holdings, K-O-R-S. I'm not a shopper, so I don't know a lot about clothing stores, but I know enough to probably get me in trouble. Let's go to James in New York. How are you doing, James?
I'm doing well. Yourself? Happy holidays.
Good. Thank you. And happy holiday to you, too.
I wanted to ask about ticker symbol NRG, which I've been holding for about a year at this point. I'm about flat on it. Didn't really make much from it, but I was just wondering if I should continue to hold that. If there's any upside potential, perhaps in 2017.
Okay. Let's take a look at the numbers. Supplies electricity in Texas, generates wholesale power, and trades energy in the U.S. And your problem is that earnings have been weak. In 2015, they were down 34 cents. They lost 34 cents a share. This year, they made 99 cents a share. But next year, they're only going to make 47 cents a share. So it's been very erratic in its earnings. Despite a good steady business, electricity, supplies electricity, so utilities, but it only pays 1% dividend. So you're not even being rewarded, really, James, for holding on to the stock and collecting a dividend. So it's not helping you very much. It really isn't. It's not giving you very many reasons to hold it, because one good reason is paying 4% dividend. You can say, okay, I'm getting my dividend, and that's a reason that I hold a utility. My personal opinion is I think you exit, because it just doesn't have the horses. Why hasn't it turned around? Why are sales for utility going down? Now, there's no reason to hold this thing if your sales are going down during the economic expansion time. Makes no sense. So there's something wrong with it. I don't know what it is, but it seems like there's something wrong with it. Okay, James?
All right. Thank you much.
Appreciate the call. I like utilities, but they've got to pay me. They got to reward me. And that reward better be in the form of a dividend if it's not growth. And usually utilities don't have growth, but they do reward shareholders with dividends. Well, this one only pays 1%. Is it overpriced? Well, the PE is like 16. It's a $12 stock with 47 cents earnings next year. This year it made 99 cents. So that's PE is 12, 12 and a half. Next year it's going to be 24 because the earnings cut in half. Doesn't make me feel good. I don't feel good about holding it. Gas prices are going up in 7 states. And they're doing it because taxes are going up. In Pennsylvania, it's going to go up to 8 cents a share. Eight cents a gallon, okay? And that's the highest increase for all the 7 states that are going to go up. And that makes it 58 cents per gallon, state tax. You add in all the federal tax, and you're probably up a dollar or more per gallon. That's Pennsylvania. Then the next state is Michigan at 7.3%. Their tax is 37.8% a gallon. Nebraska is going up 1.5 cents to 29. Then you got Georgia, North Carolina, India, and Florida. They're all going up less than a penny, 30 to 36 cents per gallon in state tax. Now, all this money, according to these people, they're using it for infrastructure. Infrastructure improvements to the roads and bridges and all that other stuff. I've heard this happen. Well, we got to raise taxes because of this. We got to raise taxes because of that. What it tells me, I've been watching this so many years, and one of the reasons I always say no to every tax increase, because governments are never satisfied with the taxes they get. They always want more. And when they start increasing percentages, it's very expensive. We already pay huge gas tax. But here in California, that money goes into the general fund, and they just spend it. So I always thought the gas tax should be go to fixing the roads. What have you been doing with all the previous gas tax money? Anyways, those are 7 states that tax, it's going up. I just want to remind everybody that we pay huge taxes at the pump. Huge. Dollar a gallon. That's a big part. And then they charge sales tax on top of that, which really, really irritates me. You pay sales tax on your tax. Where does that make any sense any logical sense, maybe to a politician. Our free risk analysis tool not only evaluates and quantifies your risk tolerance, it also the first step in determining if your current retirement portfolio with this mix of stocks, funds, and bonds, and cash is exposing you to the risk that you want to take, or are you overexposed, too much risk in your holdings. It's an easy way to get to figure out if you're matching your risk tolerance with how you're investing. It's free. You start by going to investtalk.com and answer the questions. There's like three or five of them, and we come up with a risk score. It's very easy. It's a free risk analysis. That's investtalk.com.
A recent survey shows that many investors are not looking closely at their investment options that could make a considerable difference in achieving a financially secure retirement. So many Americans simply won't have the money they need to enjoy their longer lives if they don't start investing differently. If you'd like a second opinion on your retirement accounts and see some options, sign up for a checkup with Steve. He does a few of these each month. He'll be in San Jose January 11th for a full day of individual meetings. Just go to investtalk.com and click on the Invest Talk tab and then Portfolio Review.
Hi, Steve. Jim from Indiana. Hey, I'm looking at a stock, GNC, General Nutrition Centers. It's been in free fall because their sales have been not good, but you know, still their sales are okay, at least not nil. Their PE seems to be at a decent rate. Their future PE looks decent as well. They ousted their CEO back in July. They're in the process of rebranding and are really looking to push some advertising, hoping to turn it around. My question is there a buy point that I should be looking at, or should I just stay as far away from this as possible? Thanks so much. Appreciate the time. Have a great one.
Well, this is an interesting stock. It's an interesting lesson that maybe we can share here. GNC Holdings, where do they operate? They operate 3,600 or so company stores, and they have 3,100, 3,200 GNC franchise nutritional stores worldwide. Okay, and they have 2,300 located within Rite Aids. And remember, they sell supplements, nutritional supplements. That's what they do. They're a $760 million company. They're going to make $2.47 a share this year. They made $2.91 last year. So they're down 15%. Next year, it's going to go to $2.12 a share, or down 14%. They have a dividend yield of 7.2%. Well, that's possible to maintain it because the stock is only $11 stock. So, you know, they could do that. They have a pretty good... Now, one of the little concerns I have that maybe other investors have is there's lots of debt, 309%. Now, sales are kind of flat to falling, a couple percentage points. So the stock has fallen from $32, $33 all the way down to $11 a share. And has no sign of recovery on a chart. So the chart is telling you something is very, very wrong. The chart is saying, I don't really care what the fundamental numbers are saying, that it's pretty cheap because with a P/E ratio of 4, it looks really cheap. It's saying the chart is telling you a story of something's wrong. So for me, even though it looks like, you know, it's really inexpensive, I would not get anywhere near it. I think something is wrong. I believe what the chart is telling me. Sellers been selling the stock, and there's something wrong. Just looking quickly, I would focus on that debt. Why is there so much debt? And can they afford that debt? How can they pay the dividend and the debt? Do they have to refinance the debt soon? Is it going to cost them more money? You look at the fundamentals, return on equity is high, low PE, good earnings, even though it's not growing, it's shrinking, still very good compared to the price of the stock. So it gives you this fault. This is what we call a possible value trap. It looks like a value play because it looks so inexpensive. But I'm thinking something's wrong, and I need to find that out. My focus would go right to the debt, figure out what's going on there with that debt. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Time for InvestTalk Personal, everybody. The day-to-day money choices we all make that we need to think about. So not all money savings moves are really good. In other words, you're going to save money by doing X, Y, Z. Is it really good for you? For instance, buying cheap stuff, cheap furniture, cheap appliances. You buy all the cheap stuff. And that old saying, you get what you pay for, does come back and bite you sometimes. You get what you pay for. So the cheap stuff may not be cheap in the long run. It may be expensive because you're going to have to replace it shortly. I've done that myself in the past, buying the stuff that's cheap, and it seems to always come back and bite me. Now I do just the opposite. I buy the good stuff. Buying something just because it's on sale. Huge sale. You got to buy it because it's 50% off. You got to go buy it. But, you know, you really have to think, do you really need it, or is it going to use it? I mean, how worthless is it if you're not going to use it? Buying something you don't need at a reduced price is still buying something you don't need. And finally, setting up too strict of a budget. Is it really smart to say I'm not going to buy it until it's really, really cheap? Well, you may never buy it. You're buying something you need, and you're not going to buy it because you're too cheap. So it works both ways. It works both ways. So those are three things that you probably should consider. The most common mistake I see people is buying things they don't need. They don't need it, and they buy it because they want it. Then they don't use it. And I have to admit that sometimes I do that myself. I hate to admit it, but I do that sometimes myself. Buy something because I want it, but I really don't need it. And then it goes to waste. You're listening to Invest Talk, everybody. We're glad you're here with us today. The invitation is always open. Give me a call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The number is 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. $888-99-CHART. We're going to talk to Manu in Fremont. How you doing, Manu? I haven't talked to you in a while.
Good, Steve. Thanks for taking my call. Actually, I listen to your program. I don't miss it. So I call all the time.
Thank you.
I have a very general question regarding the earnings and the balance sheet.
Okay.
Regarding the earnings, the companies are big and small. From Alcoa or United Technology, everyone have the estimate exactly in cents. So a dollar and cent, do you think they manipulate how they can predict earnings a year ahead?
Manu, I'm going to tell you something that you probably already know, and the answer is yes. Corporations manipulate their earnings all the time. I remember back in the 90s, GE would beat their earnings expectation every quarter by a penny or two, like clockwork, every quarter, year after year. How's that possible? Unless you have to manipulate it. And they did manipulate it. And corporations manipulate it all the time. So you got to take everything they say with a grain of salt. You know, not all corporations do it, Manu, but many of them do. And how do they do it? Yeah, well,
billions involved.
Yeah.
No punishment.
Yeah, GE was billions. It's billions. It was, how do they do that? How do they do? Well, they adjust the depreciation schedules. They pull forward earnings or push back earnings into the next quarter or bring it into this quarter's from sales that maybe haven't closed yet. They do everything, and they're not doing anything necessarily anything illegal, Manuel. They're not, but they are manipulating them. They want the numbers to come in a certain way.
Okay. Other question is also balance sheet. Mm-hmm. On the balance sheet, what kind of debt is shown? Is it a common? I don't know. They show the bonds-related debt or not. The balance sheet we read on the Yahoo or anywhere, does that have only the normal debt or the all the debt the company has?
It would usually show, I'm going to say, all the debt the company has, but there is off-balance sheet accounting going on. So there are things that are off the balance sheet that you have to know about. And they do report them, but they report them in sidebars or footnotes, off-balance sheet items. And most of the time, those off-balance sheet items are just small and insignificant. But sometimes they can get pretty big, especially if their company's trying to hide something. You know how I complain about Chinese companies and how dishonest I are with their numbers? Though that same thing happens here in the United States, just on a much smaller scale. Okay? Thank you, man. Yeah, appreciate the call. Okay. Thank you very much. Let's go to Paul in San Jose. How you doing, Paul? Oh, Paul, he dropped off. That's not good. Do you know what a news dump is? And this kind of goes to menu, you know, when you're talking about companies and reporting things. A news dump is where a company releases information when no one is paying attention. Friday late is often. Friday before a holiday is often. And just as an example, Halliburton announced Friday afternoon two bits of information. Friday afternoon before the Christmas holiday. One was a bid for a Russian company that they wanted to buy. A Russian company. Why would I call that? The other one, just so we know, that one was announcing a settlement of a lawsuit from an old lawsuit. Just take it from me. Both those things were something they didn't want to have a lot of people pay attention to because of the politics involved. They didn't want anybody to notice. That's called a news dump. Friday evening before the close of the market or after the close of the market even, very common. So by Monday, you forgot about it or you didn't pay attention, didn't see it. Very common. Called a news dump. Our time's up for this hour. Remember, to assess your investment performance, you need to begin with your original investment plan. And then a process. Do you need help shaping that plan? Write me a note. Let me know on investtalk.com. Just click on Contact Steve, and I promise I will get back to you in email form at the very least. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. Justin Klein and I, along with everybody at KPP, thank you for listening today. And listen to me here again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.